Hello and welcome to Chapter 1 of Enterprise Programming Systems, where we are going to discuss about SOA, which is short form for Service Oriented Architectures, Middleware and Workflow. My name is Ramasubramanian. I am having around 28 years of experience in banking and information technologies industry, and today I am going to take care of the entire chapters which we are going to discuss about the ERP systems. So, objectives of this particular chapter include concepts of service-oriented architectures for a non-technical person. So, a non-technical person also can understand what exactly is a service-oriented architecture, middleware, and why they are essential glue in current enterprise IT. So, what exactly is a middleware, and why exactly a middleware is required for an enterprise. Workflow systems that enable for role-based work in organizations. When we are discussing about workflow for any organization, there will be multiple roles based on their whatever they are supposed to do on a daily basis. Each person has a specific role, and how exactly the workflow is going to help the organizations to handle their day-to-day transactions. That is what we are going to look at when we are talking about workflow systems. So, in this chapter, we will cover three core components of any enterprise IT systems. First is middleware, which we are going to discuss about, and which is going to be the essential glue that knits the various components or systems in an enterprise IT solution. So, whatever solutions we are going to see in the front end or the user is going to see in the screen is essentially has to connect with the middleware so that it can connect back to the entire database or entire application. So the middleware is going to be the part that is going to ensure that the connectivity is going to be there and user is able to do the transition without any issues. Workflow systems, again, it is going to be the major thing that is happening in the current enterprise solutions, where each person is having a different role based on different categories of transactions. Why a same person can be a maker, same person can be a checker, and again there could be a centralized office where they are doing the transactions, where they are doing the backend offices transactions, or when you are talking about the customer transaction that is going to happen from the internet. Which is happening in today's world, there is going to be a back-end team that is going to work on the transaction that has been created by a customer at the front end, at the internet, sitting in anywhere of the entire world. And the back-end, back-office team will be doing the transaction. How all these patterns are orchestrated together is through a workflow system that is running in the back-end. And this workflow system, today's world, it can have the capabilities of robotic engineering, where system can do an auto transaction processing and ensure that system is getting processed, the transaction is going through all the cycles. Workflow systems provide that essential process binding that enable an orderly work environment in a network of systems. Service-oriented architecture is a very current concept of IT architecture that enables organizations to share business logic and data among multiple applications and usage modes. In today's world, if you see, any organization or any enterprise cannot run with a single system in place. For example, let us take a bank itself. So, a bank will be having an ATM, internet banking, a core banking system which is running in the back end, or mobile banking. So, how all these particular things are connected, interconnected together to each other thing and ensure that transactions are happening. So, example, a person can ask for a balance inquiry, other person can ask for an ATM mini withdrawal from the ATM machine or a withdrawal for he can do an UPI transactions. How all these particular things are happening in the backend is through services that are happening. So, there could be a service that helps the person to get a balance from his account, or there could be another service that ensures that the address is getting changed for the particular customer with the relevant validations, which includes KYC, etc., etc., or ATM transaction that a withdrawal that is happening. All these things are happening today in today's world using services. So let us understand, let us go deep, let us do a deep dive on the service software architecture and what exactly is the role of an architect in a software industry. So, by this time, all of us might be aware what exactly is the role of an architect in a civil engineering. So, when we talk about a builder, an entire building or a mall that is getting built, one of the primary questions that will be asked by any person who is going to purchase or who is going to rent for the entire building is, who is the architect? which is the company who is doing the architectural, entire architect has been done by this particular thing. Why this is getting asked? Because they believe that if an architect has done a proper role, then the building is going to be strong and ensure that the building is not going to have any defaults after a later stage of the entire thing. So the role of an architect, how one role of an architect is important for a building, the similar way it is important for a specific software. So without a proper architecture or without a proper architect being working a proper manner in a software, the software is bound to fail. Why? Because when your architecture is doing a job of a software architecture, he has to ensure that the high level structure is maintained, there should be proper interconnections that are happening, and it is, and in any software industry, any software application, changes are supposed to happen, because with the fast changing world, obviously software is supposed to happen. Today, yesterday, in 10 years back, if we are going to talk about, nobody has understood, nobody has thought that you will be in a position to do a transaction without any, without you doing a payment, it's just simply by you doing a QR code. But today, we are doing UPI transactions, we pay an auto driver, or we are going to pay an, we can purchase an entire AC or TV through an UPI transaction itself. How this has happened? Because there is a change that has happened in the entire software. So a software which you are going to, application which you are going to prepare today, should be, you should be in a position to do that. The software or software is in the position to handle all kind of changes. So architecture's job is to ensure that the changes are happening and the software is now is going to be intact and it is not getting disturbed with the changes that are happening. Otherwise, what will happen today is that today software, if some software is not in the, interfaces are not in the position to use a software, they will simply throw away the software and proceed further by purchasing a new software. So software architecture, architect, his job is to ensure that the software is in a position to handle and live long until the next version or next huge big change that is happening in the entire software system industry. So software architecture is a high level structure of a software application, and architecting a software system involves creating such a high level structure and the documentation of this entire structure. Without a documentation, it is not, we will not be in a position to ensure that the programmer or the developer or the customer understands why some specific architecture is there in the entire place. The architect also ensures functionality, usability, performance and reuse, and makes a decision on technology constraint and trade-offs. So what actually are the constraints has to be taken care of by the architect, and these constraints has to be taken based on the industry, how fast the entire industry is moving ahead, and how slow it is going to move ahead, what is the cost involved, one, what is the trade-off you are going to go ahead with a high cost? So either you have to take ensure that you are going to be low cost, or if you are going to for the low cost, if you are going to trade off, what is the functionality you are going to trade off? Is it going to be enough? Are you going to ensure that the customer is not having any issues related to security or related to the functionality that are going to be there? So like any building, or like we are mentioning earlier, like any building or large structure, software must also be designed and developed on a solid foundation. So this is what we are discussing earlier also. Without a proper foundation, without a proper platform, you have to decide which is a platform I'm going to use. Are you going to use a Python, or are you going to use a Java, or are you going to use a, how your the version changes from the Java in different versions are going to change, how your software is going to handle all these particular things, what are the libraries you are going to use when you are going to prepare this software. All these particular things has to be considered when you are going to prepare a proper foundation. Failing to consider key scenarios or to design for commonly known problems or the long-term requirements or of the software standards of the company will put the application at risk. This risk includes the software getting thrown away, or there is a security risk that is possible, or the customers are not in a position to use the entire application properly, or you are going to have high dependencies or other applications. All these particular things has to be considered when you are going to prepare a foundation. The risk exposed by poor architecture includes software that is unstable or unable to support existing or future business requirements or difficult to deploy or manage. You might have read in the recent news that there are some topmost banks that has been asked by RBI to ensure to stop onboarding new customers. All these problems are happening because the software is unstable and the people are not in the position to do a transaction. So to avoid these particular things, the central bank has to enter into the entire thing and ensure that the bank is following the proper rules and architecture is getting followed. Why this is happening? Because there is a poor architecture that is there and is not able to handle the high volume of transactions. Following are the few principles. What are the principles that must be taken care by an architecture, by an architect when he is going to go for a good software architecture? The application should be built for change rather than built to last. Like some time back we were mentioning, it should be that change is a constant that is going to happen in any software or any industry for that matter today. And when you are talking about things like a bank, which is going to change on a daily basis, obviously, the system, the application should be in a position to handle these particular changes. Otherwise, your software is going to be lost. It's going to be running the same way for years together. Formulate a model that has the capability to iterate and adapt the design easily. So it should be in a position to adapting of the changes that are going to happen. Agility should be there for the system software. Identify key engineering decisions right in the beginning and use the information to make the key engineering decisions so that the design is more flexible and less likely to be broken by any changes. Say, example, today we are talking about UPI, tomorrow we are going to talk about some other changes that are going to come into picture. And document management system, today we are having multiple things that are happening in a document management system. How a software is you are going to ensure that your software is not going to be broken because of all these particular changes that are happening around your software. This is by having a proper architecture, which possibly should be a service-oriented architecture, to ensure that all the changes are happening based on the services that are going to be happening and your application is not changing for each and every item. So that is the purpose of a service-oriented architecture. And architect should ensure that these changes are there, her foundation has been built properly. Use of models and visualization as a communication collaboration tool. So this is one important thing when you are going to do a proper documentation. The models has to be shown in the entire documentation. Visualizations are how each and every transaction is going to happen, how the architecture is getting built, which is a software, which is a server you are going to use, which is a programming language you are going to use, how the other people are going to connect your application. All these particular things has to be taken care. Model has to be built, be designed, and if possible, you have to put some videos in your document to ensure that the communication and collaboration are happening properly using proper tools. So let us deep dive into software architecture. By objective of good application architecture is the bridge between business requirements and technical requirements. Like we are saying, change is the major thing that will be happening. Business is going to grow, business is going to improve, and business is going to have changes in their requirements. And accordingly, the technical things also going to be go for a change. Today we talk about Java, tomorrow we are going to talk about Python, tomorrow, day after tomorrow, we are going to talk about some other new application, new software tool that is going to come into picture. And previously, if you see, users used to do command line compiling of Java. Today you are having multiple tools to ensure that these particular things are happening. How all these particular things are going to taken care in your entire architecture is a key thing that is architect has to ensure. So how it is going to happen? By understanding the use cases and finding ways to implement these use cases in the software. And with the thought process of how the entire thing is going to happen, change in the future. So how you will be doing it? The objectives of your good architecture are business case requirements, long-term organization focus, reuse considerations, bring in as much of the business wish list as possible. This is very much important. You are not going to take care of how it is going to happen today, but you are going to ensure that future is going to be taken into consideration. This is the major thing that has to be taken into consideration. You are going to have an architecture. anticipate all scenarios and incorporate them. These two points, the last two points, are very much required. And reuse considerations. Whatever you are going to do, you have to ensure that you are going to reuse your applications. How it is going to happen? By having different services in place. Let us take an example. You are going to have an UPI, you are going to have an balance inquiry as a service. ATM, for ATM, you are going to have an balance inquiry as a service. Is it going to be, as a proper architect, should have a single service which is going to handle both the requirements? If you are going to have a proper full application only for balance inquiry, it is not going to be helping. So you should have different services which is going to connect and which is going to be used for multiple users in the entire thing. Long-term organization focus. So like we are saying, this should be the long-term organization goal we have to consider when you are going to do an architecture. And what are the best cases that are required? Like this business wish list as possible and business requirements has to be considered at the same time. So all this time we had discussed about what is a software architecture about and why we software architecture is required. So you may have a question, how it is going to be different from a software design? So what exactly is the difference between software architecture and how exactly it is different from software design? This is what we look into now. Architecture deals at the cross-domain, cross-technology level, must cover a wider scope and handle a significant amount of the uncertainty. This is what architecture will do. It has to consider cross-domain, cross-technology, and wider scope has to be considered, has to be kept in mind when you are doing a software architecture. Architecture sets a reference baseline for designers to work within. So software design comes below software architecture. Where a software architecture ensures that the baseline is kept for the designer to ensure that they are able to work properly. Essential characteristics of architecture are its high level. Architecture realizes all the use case scenarios and architecture presents a systemic view of all stakeholders. So there could be multiple stakeholders. Software architecture handles all these particular things based on which a software design is being taken care of. And software design ensures that the software programmers are in a position to proceed further properly in the design. So to be short, architecture takes care of all the application cross domain, whatever is a domain that is going to be connecting to this entire application. From there, the designers take care from here and proceed further. Architecture can be generic and technology agnostic. So they will not be in architecture, they will not be saying that this is a technology you have to use, but in a software design, you will take care that technology, which technology you are going to use. Like example, when we talk about a building itself, the architecture will not say that which is a tile that you are going to use or which is the steel you are going to use, but a person who is going to build the entire building will be mentioning which is the tiles you are going to use and which is the paint you are going to use. So architecture stops saying that this is how the entire building has to be there. This is the year of this is the life of the entire building. And a software or a building designer will say that these are tiles I'm going to use. This is going to be the materials I'll be going to use. So let us say what exactly is a service-oriented architecture. Earlier we were mentioning about what exactly is a service. Now let us say what exactly is service-oriented architecture. It is a way of designing a software system and its surrounding environment to provide services either to end-user applications, to executable business process, or to other services through published and discoverable service interfaces. So, like the services will be published for the entire globe to connect and do a transaction. Another way of stating SOA is a way of designing, developing, deploying, and managing systems in which services provide reusable business functionality via well-defined interfaces. So, reusable public business functionality, like how business, like debit of a specific account, this could happen using an UPI transaction, or it could happen using an internet banking, or it could happen using a mobile banking. So, services ensure that all these business functionalities are taken care of And each and for each and every item, the developer is or the developer is not writing a code. He can write a code for interfacing these particular things, which are having multiple solutions are there available, and multiple orchestrators are available to ensure that these particular things are happening. And there is a middle layer that is coming into the entire system, which we'll be seeing at a later stage of the entire chapter. Service consumers are built using functionalities from available services. So consumers will be serviced based on the functionalities that has been built, like we are mentioning here, mobile banking users or internet banking users or ATM users will be using the same service for debiting or crediting the account. Protocols are predominantly but not exclusively message based document exchanges. So this will be messages that will be sent. It could be and today in the new era, documents are also getting exchanged using messages itself. Like SWIFT is a major SWIFT, which is being used by all banks for foreign transactions, is a message based exchange. And from if you see in the back end, it will be simple service that will be happening in for the main exchange of these particular messages. In large organizations, the following types of organizations, business and technology changes drive a desire to reap the benefits of SOA. Integration with legacy systems. Now, there could be a question that will be asked by any person. Why you require a legacy system? It is not, the answer to this particular thing is that it is not easy for any enterprise to just on a single day, they will say that I'll remove my entire legacy system and I'm going to use the entire transitions for a new system from tomorrow. It is not, literally not possible at all. So that the change should happen at a gradual manner. Okay, you cannot do a big bang approach for migrating from a legacy system to a new system. And also, the legacy systems are required for day-to-day transactions, irrespective of whichever you are going to use. Example, a core banking system which you are talking about. You are having an UPI transaction which has a document, etc., that is happening in the internet banking or mobile banking. But can you replace the legacy core bank system? No, you cannot do it. So there should be a surrounding systems which connects to the core bank system and ensure that the transactions are happening. How it will be happening? Through services that has been written using SOA and integrating this with the legacy systems to the new system that are going to be migrated, new system that are going to be implemented by the specific bank or the enterprise. Corporate mergers. So today we are talking about Citibank and Axis Bank that has been merged, Citibank that has been merged to Axis Bank. So, but still, if you see in the back end, Axis Bank will be using the Citibank application systems only, servers will be of Citibank only. How they are doing it? But for the customer, he'll be having a single system through which he is going to do a transaction. How this is happening? This is happening based on the service that are happening in the back end. So this kind of corporate mergers without much disturbance for the end user is happening because of the service oriented architecture that are happening in the entire applications today. Realignment and responsibility through business reorganizations. So there could be multiples that are happening in an organization. Say sometime back there is a Hewlett Packard that was there, which has been split into multiple parts. Hewlett Packard Enterprise, HP Enterprise, has been changed to DXC Technologies. So when these kind of changes that are happening, reorganization are happening, this kind of approach that we are going to have service oriented organization is going to ensure that disturbance is not happening for the end user. Changing business partnerships. Like earlier we were mentioning, business partnership, when it is getting changed, SOA ensures that the transactions are happening without any disturbance. Modernizations of obsolete systems for financial, functional or technical reasons. Acquisition or decommission of software products. So today we are saying multiple software products are getting taken care or sold to some other organizations. Socio-political forces related to or independent of the drivers cited above. So there could be multiple socio-political forces that are coming into picture. So suddenly there is a Russia and Ukraine, there is a war that is happening due to which you got to stop or start some services for these particular countries. how these particular things are possible is based on the services that are running in the backend, and SOA ensures that you are having a proper architecture which ensures that you are having services to handle this kind of issues that are going to come in the future or the current scenario. So you cannot, when suddenly there is a war that has been built between Russia and Ukraine, you cannot change your software because there is a war that has happened in some country. So this kind of things, this kind of service that are happening in the backend ensures that you are in a position to, your system is intact and in a position to handle this kind of change that are happening across the entire globe. So the situations led to SOA because they involve significant application integration efforts. So today, in earlier scenario, before 15, 20 years, when the SOA is not that much getting used, if there is an integration that is so going to be spoken, it has to be done, people have to change the entire application. Today, it is not like that. Integration are happening seamlessly and with a minimal effort. How this is happening? There is a service for each and every item. So there is in our organization which we are having, there are around 450 services that are running, and it is each and every item is an independent application, independent service, and it is having each and every role. The example, login into the application, it will be a different service. Doing a specific transaction will be a different service. And each service will be in a position to call the next service automatically. When an integrated application changes, it frequently leads to risky and costly modifications to other applications. So if you are going to have a different application for each and every item, say in case I'm going to talk about, you are going to have an application only for balance enquiry, you are going to have a different application only for doing a debit. The problem here is that a person has to log in into an application just for doing an balance enquiry. He has to log into other application just for doing an transaction, which is not viable in the today's scenario. As system interconnections become more pervasive and the pace of business and process changes increases, the inability to integrate efficiently can cause a failure of a business. So entire business will be in a position to fail if you are not having a proper services-based architecture. So an architecture should be in a position to ensure that these are the services that will be required in future or the current day scenario, so that the business can run seamlessly without much of the changes that are going to happen in the application. So application should be intact, and it should not be in a position to, you should not be changing the application frequently. SOA is seamlessly ideal for this kind of situations. So let us see how exactly the service-oriented architecture is getting famous today. So why someone has to move the existing application to service-oriented architecture? And let us see, when we are going to talk about the past, before service-oriented architecture that are happening, all are function-oriented rather than what exactly is required. So it was function-oriented, whereas in SOA, it is coordination-oriented. Like we are discussing about the balance of inquiry, or we are talking about the debit or credit, each and everything was a different function in an application. Whereas in the new scenario SOA, it is coordination. Okay, it is more coordinated. Fusion that is happening. Build to last, build to change. Like we are mentioning, change is the major thing that is happening today. So in SOA, you will be in a position to change it frequently. Suppose you are going to change a small thing, you will be changing a small service as an entire application. Or you have to include a validation new. If in earlier case, you have to change the entire application. So each and entire application has to be built once again for making a small change. Today, it is not the case. You will change a simple service and you will be in a position to move the changes very frequently. Prolonged development cycles. So earlier, when we are talking about the build to last, when you are going to change, you have to change the entire application. So consider if someone has to compile the entire application once again. Consider again, the person has to do a testing of the entire application once again. You will not be in a position to find out what is the impact of this particular change, which are the modules that are going to be affected because of the change that are going to be built in. Say it could be a small del flag or a delete flag you are going to add in the application. it can have an impact across the entire modules that are going to be there in your application if you are not having a proper small entire service. So entire application is split into multiple parts, which we call it as a service, and this service can be used by any person in the entire any other application, and it can there will be in a position to integrate with this other application easily. Incrementally built and deployed. When we talk about agility, when we talk about agile methodology of deployment, service-oriented architectures help the entire application, entire changes that are happening in an incremental manner. Earlier, application silos were there. Now we are having enterprise solutions. So when we talk about a banking itself, earlier we used to have a partial branching system, where each desktop was having a different application that are happening. In one application, they will be doing only the deposit-related transactions. Other application, they will be using only the loan-related transactions. Other person will be doing savings bank-related transactions. What was happening here is that if a transaction that has to happen between a deposit account and a savings account, they were doing two different transactions in each of this application, which resulted in more resources that are being spent from the perspective of human resources, from the perspective of storage, from the perspective of database, and from the perspective of application development. Today, in the new world, where we are having an enterprise solution, everything is happening in a single application. So what is happening is that the impact or the human resources that are getting spent on this particular mundane task are getting reduced. And the storage is going to be reduced because you are going to have a single transaction for the entire bunch of transactions that are happening in the back end. Tightly coupled. If you have to make any changes, you have to change in the entire applications and connected applications. Today, we are having a loosely coupled where it is flexible and it can be connected to any other application also. Object-oriented. And today it is message oriented. So by a single message, you will be in a position to do a transaction. Known implementation, abstraction. Today it is abstraction implementation is happening. And it changes. It is like the implementation methodology can change for each implementation. So what is required for SOI implementation? Buy-in and involvement of the following additional stakeholders are required before you are deciding that you are going to change into the new SOI implementation methodology, or you are going to have a new methodology, new deployment that is going to happen. Service usage regulators. Who are the service regulators that are going to be there? In case of banks, I can give an example, Reserve Bank of India. In case of companies, it could be an MCA. These regulators or whatever they are going to have in their mind has to be taken into consideration. In case if it is required, you can have a discussion with the specific regulators and inform them this is a change you are going to bring in your application. And for the information, if a bank is going to make any changes to their application, they are supposed to inform the regulators that there is a change that are going to happen. And this is the time that is going to happen. This is the impact that will happen. This could be the disturbances that will happen because of the changes they are going to bring in. So this kind of information has to be passed on to the respective people. Get their approvals for the dates on which you are going to proceed further before making any changes which are going to impact the common people. Their main responsibilities include creating policies for service usage, such as specifying their services must conform to certain standards and possibly placing constraints on the services that can be used. Example, specifying trusted sources for services. So regulators includes, like we are talking about banks or company MCAs, okay, and multiple regulatories, SEBI, ECB and all these our government, all these particular people are regulators. Including these particular people, you are having your own regulators. In case of banks, you can have an CISO, who is an information security officer, central information security officer, who ensures that the security standards are taken care of. And the business people, there will be multiple business people for entire organization. So these regulators has to be discussed. Ensure that you are following the proper rules policies that has been set for the purpose of the not to ensure that whatever you are doing are as conforming to the standards that has been set. Developers of service users. So you could have multiple users, multiple, say in a bank, you can have an internet banking. There could be different users that could be there. And there could be a different developer who is working on this particular thing. This has to be concerned. I mean, this has to be discussed with these people. Ensure that they are also taken into consideration when you're making any changes here. If the system offers service to external service user applications, the architects and developers are who are responsible for these external clients should also be invited for the discussions to ensure that you are following the rules and they are their transactions are not getting disturbed because of the changes that are going to be brought in. External developers of service providers, you could have service providers who are ensuring that, who are taken care, who are doing a development for you. You have to have a discussion with them also and ensure that they are aware, they are understanding and their application or their services will be adhering to the changes they are going to bring in. If the system is going to access external services, the architect or developers who are responsible for those external services should also participate in the architecture evaluation. This could be a change that you are going to bring in the current architecture, like you are going to migrate from one core banking system or one application to different application. So let us briefly look at what exactly is a service-oriented system looks like at a high level. So there is one kind of users or there is one kind of actors in the entire architecture who are called as service consumers. These are people who are internal users, like people who are working, who are employees to the specific organization. Next comes the portal, who are people who are unnamed or unknown users who are working from some part of the entire country, entire world. External users, who may be a regulator, who may be a person who is having an interest on your organization, who is having authority to do a transaction. These are external users. Next comes the infrastructure. This is a vital part of the entire architecture. Which kind of service-oriented architecture you are going to use, what kind of architecture you are going to use, which is the software you are going to use for doing the development. These things will come into picture in the next stage, where infrastructure, because based on this particular software, which is the programming language you are going to use, based on this, the infrastructure changes, like you may be using an WebLogic, you may be using an Java messaging service, or you may be using an Tomcat, Apache. So based on this, the infrastructure changes, are you going to use Windows Server, or are you going to use a Linux server or Unix server? Based on this particular infrastructure changes, or what is the speed that you require? What kind of, are you going to use a document management system? So all this has to be considered when you are going to do an infrastructure discussions. Next comes the security. Who are involved for this doing this particular thing? Security, discovery, which we will be looking at the later stage. What is the discovery of SOA? Services and data transformation. There could be change that will be a service that will be used for transforming one data to in different format. It's like JSON format, you're going to transform to XML format. This data transformations will be discussed when you are discussing about infrastructure. Who are going to use this particular thing? How it is going to be used? Service interfaces. Like we are discussing balance enquiry, could be a different service, you can say service A. And there could be a different service that will be service B, which will be used by some other applications. Service C may be for doing an debit or credit transactions or sending the document. Let us take an example of document management system, where you are going to send the document to a different solution, different application. This will be service B. Who are the people who are going to include the service implementation? ERP, legacy apps, and new service codes.